That's what our hands together are saying this word. Our Father, in the name of Jesus,
we welcome your revelation knowledge that is found in the written word.
This evening, our eyes
view Jesus,
even as Jesus himself. Concerning the Manticos,
we are receptive to the instructions
that is found in the written word. And we walk in the light of it. We'll walk in our own. We'll practice our own. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So, for this section, this is the fifth section. And I told us on Saturday, those of us who are around on Saturday, we're looking at pneumaticals. Now, those of us who are around on Saturday, I told us we'll take a bit of a detour from what we were looking at, what we were looking at on Saturday. And this is another time I'm doing it. We did it last week, Saturday. We took it before, and then we came back on Saturday. Hallelujah. Amen. How have you saw what happened last week over the first section, the third and the fourth section? The first, second, third, and fourth. So that last week, we actually, on Saturday, we brought in what we did in the first section. And that was the second section, and then we had it in the third and fourth section. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going to do something a bit similar in this section, and then from next week you'll just see what we're trying to do. It's more or less like we talk on Saturday, and then on Thursday we'll fill in the gaps. Amen. But you see all those as we progress, you see why I had to take all this. Tons. It's just like on Third Mainland Bridge, you have several exits and several entries. Hallelujah. You just exit here, come back. Amen. But you still come back. Hallelujah. But the detour is not a detour away from the topic. You are still within the topic, but just to touch around a few things. Hallelujah. Okay, Matthew 28 from verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go ye therefore, and make disciples, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Hallelujah. So, we said this will be Jesus' instruction within the 40 days, right? Hallelujah. Within the 40 days. Mark, we'll come back to this shortly. And I'll be a bit fast. Mark will say, go preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now he said, this time shall bring them that believe. In my name will come from heaven, they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents and they drink any deadly thing shall not hurt them. Say they will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Mark this word, but we're going to come back to this. With the Lord walking with them. Now, no, I am with you. The Lord walking with them. Did you see that? And confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. So, Luke now did a bit of an elaboration of what Matthew and Mark have said, and he said Jesus taught them for 40 days. Hallelujah. Luke 24, 4, verse 44. Said that the word has come to the Lord as the end to that all things was fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, the prophet, every psalm concerning me. And he opened he the understanding, and they might understand the scripture. They told this written, and also behold Christ to suffer, verse 46, and to rise from the dead and third day, and that repentance and the remission of sins was in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We'll look at it around this on Sunday, and we said that would be that Luke will tell us the gospel of God's forgiveness of sins and repentance, and it will be taught in the scriptures. Did you see that? So that means the instructions are instructions of his teaching within the 40 days. And which will be instructions of the scriptures? Matthew down to Malachi. Today in our world, Matthew down to Revelations. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. So that means the background of the four gospels.
The background of the four gospels, like we call it four gospels or the synoptics, is actually Genesis down to Malachi. Genesis down to Malachi.
That's what Luke made us see.
Bible says in verses chapter 1, verse 3, it taught them 40 days. Hallelujah, Acts 1:3. So similarly to when the apostles Now, taking it from somewhere we're going to look at in church on Sunday, but I'm going to just take it anyhow. Not anyhow, take it from the meeting. We're going to see the foundation on Sunday. Now, the apostles too, similarly, will teach like Jesus. Hallelujah. So their word would not be the background of the epistles or the writings of the apostles or exclusive their teachings. It will be Genesis down to Malachi and the four gospels. Because the four gospels, which is the eyewitness account of Jesus, will be the fulfillment of Genesis down to Malachi. Hope you're following me. Amen. We're going Genesis down to Malachi. So that means what you find in their teaching will be Genesis to Malachi fulfilled in the person of the Christos. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Very much, I will see all that. Hallelujah. So when we get back to Matthew 28, and he said, teaching them all I have commanded you. What does it mean? Remember, I said that word, teaching them all I have commanded you will be concerning what? Will be concerning what? Is that the resurrection? You say that? Because when he says, all I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you, that is resurrection fact. Hallelujah. So that phrase, teaching them all I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you, will be resurrection fact. Hallelujah. Resurrection fact. And we look at what resurrection fact is. John chapter 14, verse 16. We're going to dwell a bit on John 14, 16 in today's teaching. Hallelujah. Especially verses 16. Hallelujah. John 14, 16. Hallelujah. Let's see a bit of this. It says, and it says, as I not pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That is the word Alos Paracletos. That he may abide with you forever. Mark that word. He may abide with you forever. Look at verse 17. He's talking to them and he said, he will abide with you forever. Hallelujah. We're going to get that is going to come alive shortly. In now look at verse 17. He now says, even the spirit of truth. He said, whom the world cannot receive, because they neither did, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelt with you and shall be in you. Did you see that? He dwelt with you and shall be in you. Hope you following that.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. So when you talk about the resurrection, he says, in that day you know I'm in the Father. Now pray the Father will give another comforter. Verses 20 says, you know I'm in the Father and you in me and I in you. So that means what Jesus is saying is that in the resurrection, what we will receive from the Father will be the Spirit. Isn't that? What we will receive from the Father in the resurrection will be the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul will do similar thing. Paul will do very similar thing, or will say very similar words in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where we read verses 12. He says, you know, Paul will use the word of 1 Corinthians 2, 12. He says, we receive not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. Is that? We receive 1 Corinthians 2, 12. We receive the spirit that is from God. Is that? So that means in a new birth, what the believer has is the spirit. Is that? He has the spirit. The spirit lives in him. Amen?
Amen.
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 Now, when you get to 1 Corinthians 2, 1, and he says, now concerning pneumaticals, concerning spirituals, we need the word pneumaticals, is that brethren, how would not have you ignorant?
Hallelujah. He says, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. I will say, when you hear the word pneumaticals, what do you ask? What has been said concerning the Spirit? Did you see that? What has been said concerning the Spirit in context? The context there will be the context of that book. That's what I mean. Amen? Which, as you will see shortly, will be the context of the Scriptures. Hallelujah. The context of that book. What has been said concerning spirituals? Hallelujah. And we say we have to find out what are the informations that is that was passed concerning the Spirit. From 1 Corinthians, what we've been reading in the past few days or past few weeks, we saw that when you hear the word pneumaticals and you look around, what was said concerning the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 4, it says, I came not with the excellence of Spirit, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power. That is for. He says, what does he call the Spirit? He called the Spirit the information of the gospel. When the information of the gospel is the work of the Spirit.
So the information of the gospel, when a man hears it, is the first time you have contact with the Spirit of God. What the Spirit of God doing? Convicting his heart. Did you see that? So that means you find the Spirit of God in the preaching of the gospel. Information of the gospel, concerning the gospel. Or else I will find the word Spirit again in Exodus chapter 2 is what you will receive. Did you see that? What will we see? Hallelujah. I'm trying to be fast, know how the Lord cover.
And I'm sure that we have a short time here tonight. Hallelujah. So, trying to just see how I can run those things over. But you will understand it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he gets to verses 13, and he now says, either the spiritual, First Corinthians 2:13, when he says, say this thing, the Spirit, not in word, not in man's spiritual teaching, but with the Holy Ghost teaching, comparing spiritual things with his information in the Spirit, that spiritual things with spiritual. The spiritual will be the man, and the spiritual things will be the information in the Spirit, right?
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to call it things in the Spirit. Things in the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Information. Right? And then what? The man who is in the Spirit. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's see how Paul uses pneumaticals in all our epistles. We're going to focus on Ephesians and Galatians, but because of time, we're going to just dwell on Galatians tonight.
But we'll take others as we progress, including Peter. We're going to see how all that. I know we did a bit of that in
series 2, but we're going to see a bit of that now. Amen. Let's see Galatians. In Galatians 5:16, Paul uses the word pneumaticos once in Galatians 5 verses 16. Galatians chapter number 6 verse 1. So sorry. Galatians 6:1. Look at what he used it once. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, say ye which are spiritual.
What's that word? If a man be overtaken in fault,
he said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Look at what it is there. It says, ye which are spiritual. Now when you hear that word spiritual, we say the word pneumaticals implies things in the spirit,
things in the spirit, things by the spirit, and things of the spirit. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's look at that a bit. Verses chapter 6 verse 1. So when it says spiritual there, what is it talking about? Well, what has it said in context about the word spirit? Did you see that? Let's look a bit at that. Hallelujah. So in Galatians 3 verse 2, the first time the word pneuma was used to the church at Galatians, look at what it says in verse 2. Say, this is all I want to learn from you. Say, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Look at that.
So, what's the sentence? It's a receive in the past. So that means, he's saying what they receive by faith in the hearing of God's word is the Spirit. Is that? In the Spirit. Hallelujah. Look at verses 3.
He now says, haven't begun in the Spirit.
Is that? So that means, to be born again is to receive the Spirit, that is to begin in the Spirit. Hope you're following that.
To begin in the Spirit. So haven't begun in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verses 5, he used that word pneuma again. Say, he therefore that ministered to you the Spirit. You see that? Now he has said, what you receive in the preaching of the gospel is the pneuma.
He now said, he that ministered to you the Spirit. Is that the gospel? Is that the gospel? He said, and working miracles amongst you. Is that?
He said, doeth he by what? By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. So, automatically, he says, they use the word pneuma again for information in the Spirit.
Hope you're following me.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Glory to God. So we'll go to verses 14 again. I'm just being fast. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Similar. Hallelujah. Telling you we have received the promised Spirit. Quickly, as soon as we get to chapter 5. Chapter 5.
We don't do this in this teaching. Have we done Galatians? Have we done Galatians? Okay, did I break Galatians for us? Did I do that? Where I said, the apostle Paul gives them who they are in Christ, which is the Solomon's Prayer, he now gives them to walk in the Spirit. Did we do that? And then I related it to how you find it through in the Ephesians. Did I say that? Hallelujah. And what would Paul be writing from? Would that be Moses and the water of Jesus? Faith in the Lord? Right? And the second is that come to me? Right? Right?
Okay, we're going to see that.
Okay, I want to say something now. I'm not going to say it. Just enjoy the flow.
Hallelujah. There's something I want to say. But you'll find that too. You'll find out too. Hallelujah. Here we go. So where are we? Chapter 5 verse 16. I'm trying not to stop by the wayside. You know what I mean?
Huh? At least I'm muted, so I don't want to laugh.
So I'm gonna rub those. So we refuse to laugh. We were visited by armed robbers. Amen. They invited us for a treat. And they robbed us. They used guns at us. That's heartbreaking. You don't know? Somebody invited you and they now robbed you. With guns. So allow me. I don't want to laugh. Let's go straight. This is business. This is the word of God. Leave football somewhere else. Hallelujah. You don't know what I'm talking about. It's football. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That is a mourn with them that mourn. With Chelsea? Mourn with all that mourn. Chelsea is actually mourning. Honestly. That was the first time we singled out yesterday to sing. Ha! God. Let's continue. Let's continue. Hallelujah. Okay, where were we? Chapter 5 verse 16, right? Chapter 5 verse 16. Let's see this now. It says, look at what Paul says today. He said, did I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He has also given you that you have begun in the Spirit, you are in the Spirit, and now just walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. How do you do that? Walk in the Spirit. So what does he say when he says walk in the Spirit? Walk in your own. Amen. So the believers are not aliens to the walk, to the Spirit, or to spirituals. You're not aliens. Hallelujah. That's what Paul is saying. You're not aliens to walking in the Spirit, all the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hope you're with me. They walk in the Spirit. Walk in your own. I like that. Walking in your own. Look at verses 25. It says, if we live in the Spirit, what should we do? If we live in the Spirit, let us do what? Come on, are you there?
Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us do what? Let us walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Let's walk in the Spirit. Hope you're seeing that. Hope you're seeing that. Let's walk in the Spirit. So, because we are spiritual, we therefore should walk in the Spirit. So when they use the word walk in the Spirit, does it involve activities in the Spirit? Does it involve activities in the Spirit?
Yes, sir.
Walk in the Spirit is activity. So there are activities in the Spirit. So when he now gets to chapter 6 verse 1, look at that. And he now says, brethren, if a man is overtaken by Paul. Now that word fault there is the word in the Greek paraptoma. paraptoma. It's from another word that implies to slide, slip. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. To walk, when one walk, to walk in error or to be in error. And that word has to do with conduct, activities. Did you see that? That has to do with conduct activities. So what Paul is saying is you who are spiritual. Is that walking in the spirit? That walking in the spirit, activities in the spirit. Come on. And then you should restore that one. First of all, he says you who are spiritual, you have begun in the spirit. Right? You should walk in the spirit. You should restore that one in the spirit of meekness. What are you saying that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the spirit of meekness. So when he says walk in the spirit, it will be what? What will be in the background? What will be in the background? Let's get back to Saturday. What will be in the background? Separating light from darkness. Did you see that? Is that order? When you walk in the spirit, is that order? We have begun in the spirit, that is the order. To receive the spirit, to begin in the spirit, let there be light, the spirit, right? And you begin to divide light from darkness. Walk in the spirit. Whatever you read. Glory to God. Walk in the spirit. That's order. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. So you also find in the background to the words of Jesus. We're going to get there. Hallelujah. We're going to find the words of Jesus in the background and the Old Testament book. And that will be the believer's responsibility to walk in the spirit. So when you now get to 1 Corinthians 12:1, I'm trying to skip something. 1 Corinthians 12:1, when it says, brethren, I would not want you ignorant. When you use the word ignorant, we say it with willful ignorance, right? Right? And we deal, and it deals with what? What does it deal with? Willful ignorance there in context, when it says, I won't want you ignorant, what does it deal with? What does it deal with? Practice, application. Is that application? Practice. Application. Hallelujah. Application, practice. It is a practice. Hallelujah. So it shows you, remember in chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, verse 7, he said they came behind in no gifts. Is that they came behind in no gifts? That means they have this thing. So a willful ignorance will be they know it but don't walk in it. We're going to see that. Something they know but they decided not to walk in it. Not to apply it. So that means we could have believers who willfully will not want to walk in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even if he has the information of the spirit. So I won't want to ignorant about it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Uh-huh. So the response of Paul when he says, I will not want to ignorant, when Paul picking his response, when Paul picking his response from? He's picking his response is good for Moses, Moses that I'm saying. Hallelujah. From Moses. Walk in the spirit. We're going to put it in the room tonight. Hallelujah. It's speaking that from Moses. Whatever you do. Amen. I'll be Moses then. Glory to God. And when you say Moses, you go back to, what did Moses say? Moses would give them the response or the answer would be to walk in the spirit. In the wilderness, walk in the spirit. And how you walk in the world. Showing you that the problem of man is first supernatural. See that? The problem of man is first supernatural.
What is it? It's called supernatural. Hallelujah. It's called supernatural. Hallelujah. The material problem, economic problem, is because there's a spiritual problem. Amen. Never forget that. I never thought that your sister Sam, what is her name? Yeah. Your laptop. Amen. Sorry, Sam. Okay, Sam. You know, that's the physical, physical. It's supernatural, spiritual, spiritual. Right? Huh?
Yeah, you don't know. When you were calling her mother, how old was she? Calling her mother. When she was two.
Amen. Who remember that song? The spiritual, spiritual is ruled by the physical. I mean, the physical, physical is ruled by the spiritual. That's right. That's part of the song that I wanted to sing for me for daughter over last year. I sing that was not there. Right? The leader of daughter, that's the daughter here. This is Salusna. She can confirm that. Yeah, so Genesis 1:1. You don't know? The physical is ruled by the spiritual. Never miss that. So man's problem.
You know what this teaching is going to do for us? Eh? It's going to help reshape your mind. Not for us. It's going to reinforce. It's going to reinforce the work of ministry and reinforce the work in the spirit in and through us. Hallelujah. That's what this teaching is going to do. You remember? You remember? So, a man's problem is not primarily teaching physical force. How do you follow it? It's not physical. Now, they came to meet Jesus and they said, divorce. Did the man put away by physical problem? But Jesus said, what do you think of also? What is it then? They tell you that the origin of divorce is not actually physical, it's not of course supernatural. It's man that divorced God. That's what Jesus is saying. It's man that divorced God. Listen that. So it's not spiritual. It's not physical. Amen? So it helps you know how to approach things as a believer. You must know how to approach things supernatural. Hallelujah.
What are
you
doing? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's get a bit into some details. Genesis 1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Supernatural world, right? Right?
Yeah, I'm just going to run through this because we're not supposed to stay here today. We have something else to fill up. Right? So, supernatural world. Now, when they say, and we said supernatural world, and when it's supernatural world, we say Moses didn't show a distinction. In fact, in the Old Testament book, there was no distinction. Amen. Come on. There was no distinction. The heaven and the earth are in the same place. Okay, follow me. Amen. Amen. Okay, put it this way. Just put the word there's no distinction. You put it this way. There is no
There is the distinction, the sense of activity, or you say there is no distance between the what? The supernatural and the natural. The earth is an interplay of both the natural and the supernatural. That's what this means. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen?
It wasn't differentiated. Hallelujah. Makes you see that the heavens is in the earth, the same location. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the earth is an interplay of both the natural and the supernatural. Hallelujah. Okay, I have it here. It is the supernatural wasn't treated as a distant location. Hallelujah. What is that? It's not a distant location. Rather, it will be found in the earth. And we saw that in Genesis 28, verse 17. We're going to get up to there soon again.
Verse 17, when Jacob rose up, he said, this is the window of heaven. Did you see that? He called that place the window of heaven. Or the gate of heaven, put it that way, the gate of heaven. That is to say,
Where we find the gate of heaven that is access into the supernatural will be in the earth. This is that. Amen. Isn't it? Okay, follow me. So that means we have to look, stay within the context of their world. Because scripture was in their world, so we have to stay there. Hallelujah. Good enough, don't go to their world.
So what if, no, don't what if now. Hallelujah. Amen. Hold on. So in verses 2, it has said the earth is without form and void. I was going to use of the word earth there is used for man.
Right? If it says it's used for man, would it be part of Genesis 1? But it says the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That means God's plan is to be in all the earth. Is it referring to man? What I'm referring to, union, marriage. God's marriage. So the Bible opens up with a supernatural relationship, a supernatural marriage, a supernatural good, a supernatural plan and purpose. Not a scientific one, not a relational one, not a sociological one, but a supernatural one. Okay, there we go.
Opens up with a supernatural one. Hallelujah. Hope you're following what I'm teaching you tonight. Okay, so when it says heaven and the earth, it means all men, right? So when Paul picks on that word, Paul will say that all men saved, all men saved. Is that 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. So when it says the head of that form and void, to who are both who as we say, it will be a description of man without the spirit.
Most will call it to who are both. It will be chaos, disorder, right? What is not proper?
And when you use the word darkness there, is supernatural. Supernatural. I'm supposed to get to Ephesians, but I don't get there today. Hallelujah. To see that. It will be supernatural. So making you see that there is no neutral, ground.
Hallelujah. There's no problem. Paul will put it into Ephesians chapter 2. And we are under the prince of the power of the air. A man who is not saved. That is darkness. You see that? So supernatural darkness there also. Hope you are with me.
Glory to God. Supernatural darkness too. Or good as a supernatural darkness. The darkness too there is supernatural. So what God calls proper will be what? Look at chapter 3. And God said, let there be light, right? And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. That is the opposite of tohu wabohu. That it was good. It was proper. Let there be light. Higher all. That's the word. Higher all. The word higher is where you have the word I am. Egoema. Higher all. Let I am light. That's what it means. God says, I am light. Hallelujah. I am light. Hallelujah. So when you take that to the Greek, you will find that Jesus had a direct quotation or quoted Genesis 1:3 verbatim in John chapter 8. Now, in John chapter 8, verses 12. Look at John 8:12. Jesus Jesus read or interpreted Genesis chapter 1 verse 3 verbatim. Look at John 8 verse 12. Are you there? John 8 12. Okay. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If I were you, I'm going to put Genesis 1, 3, or 2 to 3. Why would I do that? He says, I am the light of the world.
That is Genesis. I am the light. I am all. Ego am I foes. That word all is what is translated foes in the Greek. So Jesus picks that word for word, and he says, ego am I foes. That is, higher all. I am light. The same words that God used for himself in response to man's problem of darkness. God says, I am light. And Jesus standing saying he is light. Meaning Jesus is also laying claim that he is
God of the scripture.
He's the God in Genesis 1, verse 2 and 3. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Hope you're seeing that. Hallelujah. He says, I am the light of the world. Say, he that walks, he that follows me will not walk in darkness. He will not walk in darkness. Is that Genesis 1, 2? Is that to who after who? Is that disorder? Yes. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. Will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Hallelujah. Therefore, we say, just like Jesus, God calls himself in Genesis 1 verse 3, in verse 3, that he is the answer to man's problem. Yes, sir? So the answer to man's problem is never physical first. No! It's never physical. That's never been. What are you following here?
Hallelujah. You remember, we said in the paragraph of Genesis 1, Moses was answering a direct problem in their world. Right? It was a direct one. And he's answering it with God.
Hallelujah. And God says, he is light. He is the answer. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. So what God began to do in verse 4, he began to separate, divide light. That's what the bar. Began to divide light, to separate light from darkness. We'll get to this next week. Hallelujah. But that's not what we're looking at today. Hallelujah. So when he calls himself, I am light, that will be Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I am light. The heavens and the earth. Did you see that? I am light. That is light in the darkness. How are you following me? Then how will Moses then preach to God? Moses will preach to God over the tabernacle. The tabernacle is a mini temple, which is a mini earth. Did you see that? Hallelujah. The tabernacle is a mini earth. Or to put it, is a mobile temple. Okay, following that. So I want you to see that clearly. It's a mobile temple. And what will it be found in the land? Is that? So showing you, is a mini temple, and the temple is in the land, showing you that God wants to dwell in all the earth. That's what Moses is preaching God is there. With the temple. Hope you are with me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So therefore we can say the solution to man's problem is heaven and earth. Can we say that? Is it heaven and earth? Heaven and earth. Is it the tabernacle? That is it. Is it the temple? That is it. Hope you are with me here. Hallelujah. That is it. That's the solution.
Remember, the tabernacle will not be physical, but what God will do. Hope you're following me. The tabernacle will not be what? Physical, but it will be what
God will do. The physical tabernacle was to point to what God will do.
Hope you're following me this evening. Okay. So that means, the reality of heaven and earth will be the tabernacle, right? Right? Is that the reality of heaven and earth?
It will be the tabernacle. Okay. I want to say, I'm going to do something here.
But I'm looking at that.
Okay. Will that be, not just action of faith, will that be promised land? Is God's vision, God's plan, right? All the earth is temple, right? And the earth. So the earth then, if you have, I want to take your mind back to CRC 2022. Now, I never hear the word
kingdom, in the concept of kingdom, you will have the concept of land. Right?
Yes,
come on! You have the concept of land. Right?
Yes,
so, the heavens in the earth, the earth that will have to deal with land and will deal with men. Right? Heaven on the earth, the tabernacle on the land, will have a promised land. I'll help you this again. Will have a promised land. Huh?
It is his promised land. Amen. It is promised land. Hallelujah. Okay, to his promised land. To Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob.
That will be the promised land. Hallelujah. But I told you, the promised land will not be a physical land, but it will be the spirit. Well, that's what I told you. That will let you live in the spirit. So, when you hear the word land, it will be the whole earth. So, the spirit is the land. Amen. Amen. So that was the same promise. So that means what Abraham received, or what Abraham saw in Genesis 1:1, that will be Adam's vision. How did Adam's vision? He fell into deep sleep and he saw a Lord took of his ribs. I say ribs there is carried no. The reason there is the sign of the temple. What he saw is God's plan in all the earth. You hear that? No, no, we are saying all the earth. Now we deep vision. That will be the same promise to Isaac. That will be Jacob's vision. No, when Jacob woke up, what did he say from the vision? He said, this is better. What is better? God's family. You hear that? God's family. And he knows it's going to be known here. The same vision of Isaac. Even to Jacob. I mean, the Jacob, even to Joseph. Who saw that? Hallelujah. Amen. We looked at, who saw that?
During leading of the Spirit. Visions, dreams, visions, and oh, I've forgotten that title. On leading of the Spirit. Make sure you listen to that. We'll explain these visions. All true. Also, that is the same vision. Concerning God's promise, God's promised land. How many people God's promised land? Okay, now getting to promised land. But I hope we'll get to promised land soon again.
soon and very soon, we'll get to promised land. I was teaching, but.
So where were we? What were we before I got to promised land? Okay, I've seen it. So, that's why in Genesis 28, like I said earlier, Jacob, in Jacob's dream rather, Jacob called the place Bethel. Amen. He called the place Bethel. Chapter 28 verse 20. Sorry. Verse 19. And he called the name of the place Bethel, for his name of the city. Oh, okay, must lose. So he called the name of the place Bethel. That is God's family. Do you see that? God's family. God's family, Bethel. And it will be in all of the earth. You see that? So that said, the reality of heaven and earth, the tabernacle, is the tabernacle, right? So let's send you to the tabernacle.
If that is the reality of heaven and earth, and that is God's plan, listen, that's God's plan, heaven and earth, the tabernacle, God's solution, right? Let's even take a beat, let's look at the tabernacle itself, right? Right? So we're going to read Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers together. Amen. So remember, Genesis is a structure. Everything you have in Genesis.
I've said that to us before, and I'm saying it again. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. But what was said to them will be found in relationship. Very vital. In Genesis. So let's see that. A bit. Now, let's get to Exodus 25. Now, we said,
remember in what will be prefigured will be a pattern. Right? Exodus 25 verse 9 will be a pattern. Exodus 25 verse 9. It will be a pattern. A pattern there will make you not be the real thing, but will point to the real thing. So many a times when you see things prefigured in scriptures, so you can go back again and ask, what is it pointing to?
Yes, my time is almost up. Oh, it's almost up. Okay. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Okay. Ah!
That's what I'm getting into my teaching.
Okay, let me just look at it. Exodus 25 verse 8. Let's just round it up there. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst them. I may dwell amongst them. So, the building of the tabernacle was to point to the fact that God would dwell amongst them.
God doesn't dwell in the tabernacle, but he will dwell among them. Among and in them. Follow that cue. He will dwell among and in them. You will get to 1 Kings chapter 8. It says the earth. It says,
look at 1 Kings 8, 27. That's where I'm going to close. I will just know how I'm going to merge this to what we're going to do next week. If not, we will see on Sunday morning before teaching, before church. we might have first session in the morning, Sunday service, first session, and then second session will be church time. Because we have to just get this through. Hallelujah. Maybe that's what we'll do. Your pastors will communicate to you if we have service on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. 1 Kings 8, verse 27. He said, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? He says, behold, the heavens and heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much more of this house that I've built? So,
Solomon was not building a temple, and he says, no, Lord, you can't dwell in this temple. It is a disclaimer that God doesn't dwell with temple in his hand. Is that? Is that? But the temple was to point to them that God is with them. Is that? So the temple points to the fact that God is with them.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So before the temple, before he heard the word temple, Jacob has pointed our attention to Bethel. Do you see that? Bethel. God is in this place, God's family. So the temple was to now point us back again to Bethel. Would you take us to Genesis chapter 2?
Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. Stop following me here. Amen? Did you watch what I just said? The temple, before the temple had Bethel in Jacob. Right? Come on. Bethel, God's family. So the temple points to Bethel, and Bethel takes us again to Genesis 1. Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:2. Showing you what E.W. Kenyon will call God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 is God's need for his family. The father and his family. God's need for his family.
So Genesis 1 is God's family. And in God's family, God dwells with them. We have a whole lot to cover. I don't want to rush it. It's God's family, God with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in that family, we'll have his spirit among us.
If you watch even Jesus, we're going to get to this. You watch even Jesus' most famous disciples, in John 14 that we're going to do at it, we'll discover that it will be the spirit with us. Not the spirit in.
We want to see all that in as we get into order. It will be the spirit with. Then in. Hallelujah. Because it's a family for.
It's a family for. Hallelujah. So I believe
So God is reinforcing all over the earth. It is for families. It is for His children. All over the earth. And it's so strong. In fact, it got stronger in the recent days. I said I was going to share with a couple of ministers. That just to
keep the finger around it. Because I believe strongly, what God is actually emphasizing in the local church is still on the same truth. The local church is stronger than a cult. Someone said, you people are making the church look like a cult. No, it's stronger than a cult. It's stronger. Hallelujah. It's stronger than it. Hallelujah. Because we're not bound by any blood. We're bound by His Spirit. Hallelujah. We're bound by His Spirit.
And that's what God is doing on here. God is living His families in all the earth. Now be conscious of the Spirit that is with them and amongst them. Hallelujah.
Learn something tonight? Let's just thank the Lord.